This morning, we have the honor of hearing from a young leader. She happens to also live at my same address. Kaylin Mossholder was born into our family over 25 years ago and has been called by the Lord not just to be a worship pastor, but to be a pastor in all regards, which means also bringing the word of God. And so not only as a pastor am I very honored to invite up my daughter, who has preached in Trinidad and who has preached in Mexico, but is debuting her preaching ministry in the United States today. Would you please welcome Kaylin Mossholder and Hector. Where's Hector? Hector, come on up, because Hector is reading our passage from John chapter 15 in the ways of Jesus.
John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because the master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Hector. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start by praying this morning. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for bringing everyone here today, Lord. And I thank you for the calling that you have placed on my life, Jesus. And today, I just want to submit myself to you, Lord, and that your words would be heard by the people, Lord God, that it would not be anything that I'm saying or any of my own intelligence, Lord God, but it would be you, your wisdom, and your heart for the people that they would hear today, Lord God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started. So as Hector was reading about this passage where Jesus calls himself the true grapevine and the Father is the gardener, I want to give a little bit of background that we've been talking about for the past many weeks through this series in the ways of Jesus. Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet. We talked about it a few weeks ago. He had surrendered himself to the will of the Father and had washed the disciples' feet. And the same night that he says these words that Hector just read, is the night that he is going to be betrayed and sent to the cross. He dies on the cross the very next day after he says these words. And so it's kind of like his farewell in the last things that he wants his disciples to catch from him, from his ministry. They've been with him. They've been around him. But these are the last things that he says. And his main point, and the thing that he repeats over and over again, is remain in me. Even though he's going away, even though he's going to the cross, he asks his disciples to remain in him. And in return, he will remain in them. I want to talk a little bit about what Jesus might have meant when he says remain. In the Greek, the word that they use for remain there is meno. And it's a word that is used throughout the scriptures in many places. And one of the places is John 1, verse 32. And it's when John is testifying and he says, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. The word meno, the same word that's used for remain, is used for resting when the Holy Spirit rests upon Jesus in the water. And so Jesus is asking his disciples in that moment to remain and to rest in him so that he can also rest in them. Another verse was from John 8, verse 35, when Jesus says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. And that same word, meno, that Jesus used for remain is also the same word that is used when he's saying he's a part of the family. So Jesus is saying, remain, be a part of my family. He wants to be a part of their family too. He wants to remain in them as they remain in him. In some translations, the word remain is also abide, which has the same stem of the word abode, which means a place in which a person resides, a residence, dwelling, habitation, or home. Jesus wants to be their home, the place where they reside. Even though he's going to the cross to sacrifice himself, he wants them to remain with him. And he wants to remain with them as well. And as we're talking about the ways of Jesus, we can see in this passage, and as he's saying, remain in me, that his ways are marked by clear boundaries. That's one of the things that Pastor Tim has been talking about for the past weeks, is that one of the ways of Jesus is that they are marked by clear boundaries. And Jesus is saying that you have to remain in me because apart from me, you can't do anything. So our boundary is clear. We can't stray. We must stay with him and abide in him, remain in him. So today I'm going to talk about three things that take place when we remain and three things that take place when we don't. We're going to start with the three things that happen when we do remain. And I think there's a slide for it. Number one is we produce fruit. Verses 5, 8, and 16 describe this fruit that we are to produce when we remain. And they said that it will be much fruit and it will be lasting fruit. It's not just a little bit of fruit. There's a little apple here, a little pear there. It's much fruit. And it's lasting. It doesn't fade away. Jesus uses the metaphor of the vine and the branches and the gardener. He calls us the branches. He is the vine. The Father is the gardener. And the branches have to stay connected to the vine in order to receive the nutrients that they need. And it also says that the gardener cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit and prunes the branches that do produce fruit so that they will be able to produce even more fruit. And so in that we see that the Father, the gardener, cuts every branch. Every single one of the branches, which is what he's calling you guys. He's saying, you are a branch, I am the vine, and the Father is going to cut each one of you. It might be really painful, as most cutting usually is. It'll be painful, but he's doing it for a greater good, for a greater purpose. I do not know, like, anything about gardening. I'm sorry to the people that I house sit for and take care of your plants. usually when I'm gardening, it's I put some water and I pray. I'm like, God, please don't let this plant die. I don't want to be responsible for this. And so when I house sit, your plants will get a lot of prayer. And I also call my grandma because she has a really green thumb. And so I'm like, Grandma, what do I do? This plant is dying. And so she'll help me out a little bit. But today, for the purpose of looking why a gardener prunes, I went to the internet, and this is what it says. There's four reasons for pruning that I found, and there's a slide, I believe, for that. Number one is to maintain the vine's form. Number two, to regulate the number and positions of shoots on the vine. Number three, to improve fruit quality and stabilize production over time. And four, to improve bud fruitfulness. And I think this is really cool when we're thinking about the metaphor that Jesus is using. God prunes us to maintain our form. He wants us to be the people that he's called us to be. He prunes us so that we maintain the form that he's called us to live in. God the Father also regulates the number and positions of shoots on a vine. And I think that's so cool because when you think about it, we all have a position in the family of Christ. And sometimes he prunes us to change the position around. He prunes us so that we can step into new positions, and that we can do what he's calling us to do. He also prunes us to improve the fruit quality and to stabilize the production over time. So the fruit that we are producing isn't lame fruit. It's good fruit. He prunes us so that the quality of our fruit will be delicious and good. And the production is stabilized over time. So it's not just something that we're going to produce fruit for right now and then we're not going to produce fruit anymore. No, he prunes us so that we continue to produce fruit. And then the last one is to improve bud fruitfulness, which is just the same thing that we were reading, that we are called to produce much fruit, lasting fruit, but much fruit. He wants us to produce a lot of fruit in our lives. If you guys remember, the gentleman that was here last week, Bob Kilpatrick, he had talked about one of the books that he has written called The Secrets of the Silence. And there's a quote that's kind of hefty in his book that I'm going to read to you guys. And it's talking all about this scripture, John 15. And this is what it says. Branches do not visit the vine when they need sustenance. They do not come and go. They stay. They are attached. If they detach, they die. Jesus is telling us that we are to constantly be with him, in him. We do not come and go. We remain. This is the only way we receive that life of the Spirit. Just like the vine, the life flows to us simply because we are attached and stay. We abide in him. The branch doesn't have to plead for the nutrients it needs to grow. It only needs to abide in the vine. There is no necessary activity. Simply remaining is all that is needed. Jesus tells us plainly that we cannot bear fruit without abiding. We may engage in Christian activities and worthy spiritual pursuits, but our fruitfulness is entirely dependent on our abiding in him. Now, what fruit is he speaking of? It is not to do with those things that people may count as important, such as influence, prestige, or acclaim, nor is the result of anything we may do for him. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. The fruit mentioned here are not accomplishments, but character traits. These are not what we do, but who we are, the foundation of our person. Jesus is more concerned with who you are than the activity or accomplishment you may undertake or enjoy. It is vital that we understand this. The benefits of prayer are not counted in accomplishments, but in character. Again, Jesus is more concerned with who you are than with what you do. He measures you by the shape of your character, and his traits can only be had by abiding in him like the branch to the vine. Oh, so good. I love that it says that branches don't visit the vine when they need sustenance. We don't just come and go. We stay. We remain. We're constantly connected to our life support. Jesus is the vine, and when we remain connected to him, we receive everything that we need to live, to produce fruit, to do everything that he's calling us to do. And that fruit isn't what some people would think. Some people might think, oh, producing fruit looks like me and going and praying for my neighbor and them coming to Jesus. And then, wow, there's another believer, so that must be the fruit that Jesus is looking for. But Jesus is looking for the fruit of the Spirit to be alive in you. He's looking for more love and joy and peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. He wants more of that in all of you. And when we remain in him, we get our sustenance from him. Those fruits of the Spirit come alive within us. The second thing that happens when we remain in him is that we bring glory to the Father. Verse 8 says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to the Father. Remaining in God makes the difference between a true disciple or not, and whether we bring glory to God or not. There's a devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest, and one of the devotionals recently says, a disciple realizes that it is his Lord's honor that is at stake in his life, not his own honor. We don't have to worry about bringing glory to ourselves. Our lives bring glory to the Father. Our desire should be to bring glory to God with everything that we do. And God is more glorified in us when we are more satisfied in him. When we rest in that abiding presence, he is more glorified. When we remain in him, he prunes us to become more like him, and he prunes us to bear more fruit. Being a branch that bears much fruit brings honor and glory to the one who cares for the vine. Our life should be about bringing glory to the one who cares for us. He cares for you today, church. Let's be about the business of bringing glory to the Father. And number 3, we will be filled with joy when we remain in God. Verse 11 says, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. It's not just any joy that we're going to be filled with, but it's Jesus's joy. He says, you'll be filled with my joy. How many of you know that the joy of the world is different than Jesus' joy? One of the ways of Jesus that we've talked about is that the ways of Jesus are in conflict with our ways. The joy that the world finds is different than the joy that Jesus gives. But he's saying that when you remain in me, you'll be filled with my joy. And it's not just a little bit of joy, but we're filled with his joy, even to be overflowing. And when we overflow, we can pour out this joy onto everyone else around us. There's different places in the Bible that talk about this joy, and one of them is in the very next chapter, John 16, 21, and Jesus is describing a woman giving birth. And this is what it says, "Like a woman suffering the pains of labor, when her child is born, her anguish gives way to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world." And there's another translation, the Message translation, that says it in a really cool way. It says, when a woman gives birth, she has a hard time. There's no getting around it. Can I hear an amen from the women in here? So she's going to have a hard time. But when the baby is born, there is joy in the birth. This new life in the world wipes out memory of the pain. And I believe that that's what Jesus is saying, too, about the joy that he's going to give us, is that it's going to wipe out the memory of the pain that we had from his pruning. Amen. Like we said, the pruning can be difficult, can be painful, but Jesus promises us the joy when we abide in him that's going to wipe out the memory of the pain. Now I'm going to talk about the three things that happen when we don't remain. The first one is that we cannot be fruitful. Verse 4 says, "For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." And there's another translation that puts it this way. It says, "Your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine." He's calling us to be woven into him so that we can produce fruit. And when we aren't, when we tear apart from him, when we are away from him, we can't be fruitful. Those fruits of the Spirit that we had just talked about, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, we can't have those things if we're apart from him. Sure, we can have the world's joy. Maybe some of you have experienced going out and trying to find joy in a bar or a club, but that's not the joy that God has promised you when we remain in him. We can be fruitful with the joy of the Spirit when we remain in him, but apart from him, we can't produce that fruit. The second thing is that we can not only not bear fruit, but we can do nothing. Verse 5 says, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." In the Greek language, there's several words that we translate to English to mean nothing. Some of these words just negate what is being said, like this is not that, you know, that kind of thing. But none of the words that are used are as intense as the word that is used for nothing here. The Greek word for nothing that is used in this verse means the absolute negative, meaning nothing can be lower or less than. Jesus is saying that nothing can be less than what you can do without me. Let that sink in for a second. Nothing can be less than what you can do without me. That scripture says that when you are in me, you can ask me and I will give you anything that you ask for. But without him, We can't do anything. Nothing. And the last thing that happens when we don't remain is it says that we will wither. Verse 6 says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. There's another definition for the word wither, which means to quench the fire. When we don't remain in him, our fire is put out. When we are in him, we can live boldly, producing fruit, getting everything that we need from the vine, all of our sustenance, all of our nutrients. But without him, we wither away and our fire is put out. We can't be fruitful. We can do nothing and we wither away when we're not so tightly joined with the vine, with Jesus, and allow the pruning of the Father to take place in our life. I have a story that now I'm calling my withering story. It's a time when I was younger and I tried to take control of my own circumstances instead of letting the Lord take control. Instead of resting and remaining in him, I was like, no, this is what I'm going to do. And it came from a lot of background of being hurt by people. And I decided, no, I'm done. I'm taking control now. When I was in high school, I was a real chubby kid. And I got made fun of a lot. And people that I loved dearly got in on making fun of me, and it hurt, like to the core of my being, I was hurt. So I decided, nope, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to do something. I'm not going to be this way anymore. I don't want to look this way. I don't want, when people meet me, that's what they see. And so I decided to try to lose weight, and I did that in a lot of ways, but basically I ended up starving myself. And I had a full eating disorder, and it was a really, really terrible time in my life when I was literally eating next to nothing, and I wasn't getting any nutrients in my body that I needed, and I was withering away. I physically withered away because my body lacked the proper nutrients, and this is exactly what Jesus is saying that's going to happen to us if we don't remain in him. If we don't stay connected to the vine, we don't get the nutrients we need, and we will wither away. I went to the doctor right at the beginning of my senior year in high school, and they told me, your heart could stop beating at any moment. And I was terrified. I had no idea that it had become that serious. And I didn't want to die. I just didn't want to be made fun of. But through a long process of recovery, I knew that I needed to give my body the nutrients that it needed in order to keep living. And so I returned to the vine. And I don't know what it is today for you, what that might look like for you. If there's something in your life that you've decided that you're going to take the control and you're not going to remain in the Father's will for you anymore. Maybe because you don't want to be made fun of. Maybe because you don't want to be hurt. But God's asking us to remain in him so that we don't wither away. He wants all of us to have the fruit of staying with him, remaining with him. So I'm going to pray for us today as we close. And I just want you to think about, what is it in my life that is withering away, that has not remained connected to the Father? Dear Jesus, we come before you. And we know that we must remain in you in order to be fruitful, in order to be filled with joy, and to bring you glory. And Lord God, we want to bring you glory with our lives. We don't want to be withered away. So Jesus, today we come to you and we repent of the times where we've broken apart from you. Whether it was because of any reason, just because we didn't want to feel the pain of being pruned, we didn't want to be made fun of, whatever it is, Lord God, we repent and we come back to you. We return to you, Lord, as our supply of life. Jesus, you are our life source. And so we return to you, Lord God, knowing that in you we have everything that we need. And we have nothing without you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Jesus. And I pray that throughout this week, Lord, that you would just continue to remind us to remain in you, to take time to listen to you, to hear what you're saying to us. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.